From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of August, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason on the Farm Progress Show site for Media Day today. We'll have information throughout our program as it relates to next week's show. We sure do hope that you'll stop by and visit us at the University of Illinois tent. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, with Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Drew Lerner should join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and we'll be joined by Kendra Corson from the University of Illinois to discuss what's going to be happening here at the Farm Progress Show on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it a lot. I'd like to begin where we normally do with the support and resistance levels. What'd you find this week?
Well, some changes and not a lot of changes. Okay, September support 522, 574 resistance. December corn 543, $6 resistance. March 520 support, 574 resistance. When we look at beans, September, and of course we're coming heading towards September, 1262 for support, 1464 resistance. November 1258, 1462 for resistance. January 1259 and 1459. For resistance. And, you know, when you look at these, we always have to keep in mind that these are based on long-term charts. This is a continuous chart situation. So in the near term, it can be definitely a little different than that, but it really respects the long term. Gold for December, 1762 support, 1910 resistance. Dow Jones still trading in that range, 35091 to 38521. US dollar, range bound also, but right at the top of the range between 91.73 support, 93.87 resistance. Bitcoin at the top, moving toward the top end of its range, 41.989 for support, 59.82 for resistance. I'm really happy, Todd. I found the managed money estimates.
Oh, nice.
So I won't have any comparisons this week, but by next week I'll have comparisons. We see them long, soft red wheat, 12,000, long corn, 266,000, long beans, 89,000, long soy meal, 23,000, and long soy oil, 66,000. So their bias still definitely remains on the long side.
What'd you see in export inspections for the week?
That's an interesting place. Wheat exports actually are only running 9% behind compared to 26% last week. So they've really stepped up their game. They need 15.4 million bushels approximately to reach what USDA says. Corn dropped from 69% last week to 57% ahead this week, getting closer to the 50% that USDA is saying. They need to ship approximately 48 million bushels in these last couple weeks. And soybeans, 39% compared to 54% last week, basically also moving closer to what the USDA has been saying. But they've already hit their target. I mean, I shouldn't say moving closer. They've hit the target. And anything now is just icing on the cake, let's say.
Hey, did you take a look at the crop progress report this week, and what did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was extremely interesting, and the reason I thought it was interesting is because I was looking at the number of bushels that were dented in the United States, and pretty significant in some states, especially Iowa. Iowa was like 9% ahead of its average, Illinois ahead. So I actually sat down and instead of looking at bushels at risk, I set that to the side and said, okay, let's take a look at these bushels that are dented and how much is actually available for rain or anything else to help. And I came up with between North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois, that's 42.4 million acres. So that's 45.7% of total expected production. And as of Monday, 2.756 billion bushels had already dented in those particular states. I think Iowa was the one that was probably one of the kind of a surprise, you know, just because of the fact that they were that far ahead. To me, all this comes down to, Todd, and I like to watch this all the time, is what it's saying is there's a number of things going on here. This could be in relationship to extreme heat and lack of rain. This could be the development of disease And we're certainly hearing that that's happening fast and furious in Illinois anyway, in places. So there's pluses to rain and there's negatives to rain. And so if we continue to see this trend, I think that's why you're seeing the market a little more positive ever since Monday came around.
Speaking of trends, you usually have yield comparisons on the week for us. What did you find there?
Well, on corn, we saw Colorado actually declined from at trend to below trend, and Nebraska declined from above trend to at trend. I was surprised by that. Soybeans really didn't have any major changes at all. So in corn, we've got 19.9% in below trend, 27.4% at trend, and 43.7% above trend. On beans, it's 23.4% below, 13.1% at, and 59.2% basically above trend. And so, you know, those things are, it's really interesting when you look at the big picture as to the impact that can have. I mean, just seeing Nebraska move from above trend line into at trend line, that's 10.9 million acres. And Iowa is just at trend line, and that's 14.5 million acres. And they're really teetering on the edge of moving to below a trend line. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all turns out.
You know, the marketplace has been focusing a lot as of recent, though it's been doing this for a very long time, at least a year, 2 years now, on China as it relates to the export market. Anything from them that we should be aware of?
Well, you know, when you look at China, China's been basically buying beans, but they've definitely been absent as far as being a corn buyer. Mexico has really been a big corn buyer this past week. And, you know, when you talk about the market, Todd, you know, this Afghan situation is definitely having an impact. And so this market is just kind of oscillating around as the money flow and the volume signals caution to a lot of people. You know, so I think that we have people who are just kind of saying, I want to see how this is going to play out. Now, China, you know, one of the reasons I talked the other week about the fact that freight rates were going up, which is usually a great indicator of demand, actually was being impacted because there were so many ships that needed to be unloaded in China. They're actually resuming shipping in Ningbo, which is a very big port. They actually closed the entire port down for 2 weeks to quarantine their dock workers. So I think that's pretty amazing when you come right down to it.
What do you see out of South America?
Some interesting things. AgriCensus had a really good article about Brazil's fresh water supply plunging. It said between 91 and 2020, the freshwater surface plunged 3.1 million hectares, which is about the size of the country of Belgium, to 16.6 million hectares. And the researchers just say that the main reasons are, climate change, of course, and they're having shorter and more concentrated rain periods. And so I think that is definitely something. They continue to talk about deforestation. You hear different opinions on that. Some people are saying there has been no deforestation, but if there is, we know that Amazon River provides us a tremendous amount of water that goes back up into the air as those trees perspire. And it represents about a third of the rainfall volume in Brazil. So Brazil also is now at 11.4% of Brazil's ethanol production is corn-based. And I think that's extremely interesting because when you look at, you know, it used to be just sugarcane-based, right? So they're expecting sugarcane to continue to decline. And how fast they move is amazing, Todd. You know, they just started, actually, their first facility went up in July of 17. And right now we're only 4 years down the road and they're already at 11.4%. So they went from zero to 11.4% of total ethanol production in just 4 years. That's pretty doggone significant. And so now the big one for me is Argentina. NOAA came out this week and they said that the chances of a second La Nina going into South America is 70%. That's huge. You know, and that usually causes below normal rainfall for southern Brazil and northern Argentina. And, you know, those areas are still, they're in the driest periods in over 70 years right now. So any continued dryness would really, really be tough. During a La Nina year, just as an example, they receive about 30% less rainfall than normal. Soybean yields in Argentina usually drop as much as 38%, but they don't have as much of an impact on corn yields, mostly because it performs better. They split the planting season into two distinct phases, early and late, and so that helps them from a risk standpoint. But according to the Rosario Grain Exchange, over the last 35 years, there have been three times that there were two consecutive La Nina events, 08, 09, 11 and 12, and 17 and 18. And during all three of those growing seasons, both the corn and the soybean yields in Argentina were very disappointing. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that.
Indeed, we will. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you. Have a great time at Farm Progress. I wish I could be there.
Oh, I wish you could come to Farm Progress Show as well. We'll miss you next week, but we will talk with you again soon. That's Jackie Vakes, of course, of Total Farm Marketing. She's out of Hollister, Missouri, speaking at the Farm Progress Show. If you're coming to the show next week, and I'll remind you of this as we get closer to visit the U of I tent or all the other tents that are here, you should be aware that if you're coming east on Interstate 72 or from the eastern side of Illinois, out of Indiana, that it is just one lane for a portion of the interstate as you make your way into the show site, so you may need a little patience there. I don't think it'll take very long. Matt Youngman, who oversees the site, has this little bit to be aware of.
Folks from the east would want to know that on Interstate 72 there's some construction, so you should expect some one-lane traffic as you're approaching the event. None of the traffic routing is changing. Everything is the same as it was. We just want folks to be ready to slow down a little bit as they approach the show from the east.
That, of course, is Matt Youngman. He's the show site administrator here for the Decatur Show, for the show, of course, in Iowa as well, and all of the Farm Progress shows across the United States. He did have a lowdown for us as it relates to the demos that will happen next week, and they sound pretty cool.
I assure you that there's been a hand sample of that corn at 24%, and Mark Pedrut's taking a hand sample at 23%, and with the heat we're going to have the next couple days, we're going to lose at least a point a day, and we're going to be in great shape for field demonstrations. Probably 18%, and really need to go get it, right, Mark?
Yeah.
So obviously the field demonstrations are out there. New addition to the field demonstrations this year is a dedicated autonomy zone. In the autonomy zone, we're going to have both Raven platforms, the Omni Drive and the Omni Power. The Omni Drive used to be called AutoCart. That's the driverless grain cart system that runs next to a combine and it's controlled by the combine operator. That'll be operating out there. However, for the 11 o'clock harvest demo, it will pull out of the autonomy zone and go to wherever the field demo action is and run in the harvest demonstration, and then come back and run the remainder of the day. Also in the autonomy zone will be the Raven Omni Power, which used to be called DOT. That is a completely autonomous platform that can hook up several different implements. That'll be on display. Rantizo is a drone company that'll be demonstrating out there. They're gonna run a swarm of drones. They're going to apply water so that they can show what crop protection being applied would look like. They're also going to apply cover crop with a swarm of drones. So those activities will all be happening out there in that autonomy zone. The harvest demonstration starts at 11 o'clock, and we will run, we'll kick it off at 11 and run until we're out of corn in that field. And then at noon, the tiling demonstration will kick off. The last 30 acres in a big, long project is getting tiled this year. And then at 2 o'clock, the tillage demonstration will run in the same field as the corn was harvested. I say all of that, Mother Nature can also change our plans. So the info boost, the social media, the hospitality tent, our staff, we will be conveying that information as soon as anything changes like that.
Well, one other note for the show site, our tent is located just inside the main gate. You turn right and head down the street, you'll find us, the University of Illinois tent. I'll be inside, and you can catch up with us here at the Farm Progress Show anytime. And in fact, if you are one of our international listeners and you happen to speak Portuguese, Spanish, or Mandarin, not very far from our site, you'll see the international tent where you can get your questions answered in your native tongue if you'd like. And Dina Morgan tells us a bit more about that. She's also with Farm Progress Show.
It is a new location this year. We thought that being outside of Gate 9 would be maybe a little bit more convenient for our international visitors. A lot of them attend on a bus, and they all enter in through that Gate 9. so they can come off the bus and see that international tent right there. We will still have translators available, snacks, internet, things like that for our international attendees. But as Don mentioned this morning, we are expecting a much smaller crowd just because of current conditions. But we still feel that we need the tents and are looking forward to hosting those visitors that we will have.
Dina Morgan is with the Farm Progress Show. Again, those who are international visitors can come to the site and find the international tent where translators from the University of Illinois will be available. For those of you who speak Portuguese, Spanish, and Mandarin, you can ask questions. They will actually set up a small tour for you as well. Now, we're on site at the Farm Progress Show. Kendra Corson is here. She's the special events coordinator and making sure that the tent and all the things that go along with that are ready for the University of Illinois next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Kendra, thank you for being here and all the work that you've done. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're expecting?
Thanks, Todd. We are super excited to have everybody here next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, August 31st through the 2nd. We are located right here at 34 West Progress on the corner of West Progress and 3rd. Just super thrilled to have people see what ACES is all about. We have wonderful, wonderful departments that are going to be exhibiting and giving you a little bit more insight of what they're doing. We have wonderful people like Farm Business, Farm Management that will be there to provide information and talk to different visitors. Our extension folks are awesome. They have a lot of great things that they're going to be exhibiting as well. So we just welcome everybody from the industry, our alumni, students, prospective, admitted, anybody in this area. We can't wait for them to come out next week.
That's Kendra Corson with the University of Illinois. It's a busy day here at the Farm Progress Show. We're on site. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Let's check the weather forecast on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, Missouri. Drew, thank you for being with us. We sure appreciate that. Tell me about some relief, I think, that came in the far northwestern part of what I would call the Corn Belt, but into the Canadian prairies as well.
Yeah, this past week has just been very fruitful. Starting last weekend, we saw two waves of energy moving across the eastern prairies, and some of that rain reached into North Dakota and northern parts of Minnesota. And then we've had another system since then that occurred a night or so ago across the upper parts of the Midwest, including a larger part of Minnesota and Wisconsin, even a little bit of rain in northern Iowa. And this is just the beginning. This series of weather disturbances will continue as we go forward now through at least the weekend and into the early part of next week. And so there will be further improvements in all of this region. We're not necessarily going to soak the ground to the point where we're going to actually be too wet, but we're going to prevent any kind of expansion of drought conditions into the northwestern Corn Belt. And we've shut down that as a potential worsening situation in Canada as well for right now. So the Northwest Plains, not doing real well. Montana and the western parts of the Dakotas into southern Alberta still are really going to be struggling for moisture for a while longer. But the U.S. corn and soybean producing areas, I think we're getting to a plateau here where we probably aren't going to see a great deal of deteriorating conditions. We're not necessarily going to fix everybody. We're still going to have dryness in the southwestern Corn Belt for the next 10 days, unless the tropical system comes along and brings some moisture into that region. But I think for the most part, though, like I said, I don't think we're going to see much in the realm of additional deteriorating conditions for the key production areas.
Well, since you mentioned tropical conditions, have you been watching the hurricanes?
Absolutely. We've got a tropical wave right now that's moving through the Caribbean Sea, and it's going to turn to the west-northwest and then eventually to the northwest and start to evolve. And we expect to see a tropical depression or a tropical storm develop by Friday afternoon in the northwestern Caribbean Sea. The system may move across a part of the Yucatan Peninsula briefly, And that should keep it fairly weak. But as soon as it gets over the Gulf of Mexico, which will be during the weekend, rapid intensification is expected to occur. A lot of the models today are in better agreement than they have been any other time this week on this system. And it looks like it may come into the western part of Louisiana or along the upper Texas coast, and then work its way maybe up towards Arkansas and Oklahoma. And perhaps a little later down the road, we'll see it bring some moisture to that drier biased area in the southwestern Corn Belt and then churning through a fair amount of the Ohio River Basin. That's a lot of speculation for a storm that has not even developed yet. So don't hold me to all of that, but that's the expectation right now.
Well, here's what I want to hold you to a little bit, and I'm going to guess that this storm plays way things will unfold next week for the Farm Progress Show. Right now, it's been really hot in a large part of the Corn Belt, very humid in the Midwest, remains that way. I expect it to cool down by early next week. Does any of that change? It was supposed to be dry as well, and then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday here in Decatur at the Farm Progress Show, we'd kind of like that cooler and drier condition, but maybe this hurricane potential tropical storm could change things.
Yeah, it's going to complicate things a lot. We do have a frontal system that is supposed to slip down across the Midwest on Monday going into Tuesday. And the original plan was as that frontal system settles across central Illinois and central Indiana, that we would get some scattered showers and thunderstorms to occur and a wind switch that would bring us some cooler northeasterly breezes in after the rains push through the area. But you're absolutely right, and you're hinting that the situation may not turn out to be the way we think it will with this tropical system coming inland. Landfall on that tropical system is supposed to be on Monday night or Tuesday of next week. Its movement is expected to be northwesterly initially, maybe taking it into Oklahoma or western Arkansas, but it will turn to the east northeast after that. So when we get out towards midweek next week, there is a rising potential for rain in the lower Midwest. And that might include central Illinois. Right now, with the way the models are today, we are not seeing a lot of rain come into the region, but it seems a little illogical to bring a storm of size into the central Gulf Coast and move it northwestward and not bring moisture into Illinois. So at this moment, I would say maybe, probably not Tuesday, but probably Wednesday or Thursday of next week, we'll start seeing some rain work its way through Illinois and Indiana and a fairly large part of that central corn and soybean production area. So there may be a little less ideal weather. But if everything goes just wrong, we could keep the storm down to the south longer, and maybe we can get that cool front to come through and have a really nice couple of days for the show. So once again, I'm proving that weather guys know absolutely nothing, and we'll see what happens when we get there, right?
Yeah, we will. And I hope everything goes just wrong. That would be really nice. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciated that. Of course, is Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, Missouri. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. Today, we hope to see you on site next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right here in Decatur.